Nikki, for reading. Thanks, Bill, for praying. And it'd be a great help for me if you could keep your Bible open. Great help for me and a great help for you. So we're on page 1014. Well, as Christians, we're all asylum seekers. We're all asylum seekers. That's how Peter starts in chapter 1, verse 1. We are elect exiles. We are asylum seekers. The world is not our home. We have another home as Christians. We have a heavenly home where we're heading, where we'll see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We're asylum seekers and we're journeying there. But how then should we live and think on this journey that we're on? How should knowing where we're heading affect how we live now? How should we think, act, love, knowing that we're asylum seekers in our homes, in our workplaces, at our uni, in our families and relationships, and with our financial decisions? Well, that's our question this morning as we look at this passage. Knowing that we're asylum seekers, how then should we live? Well, our passage today breaks into three sections, showing us three things that we're commanded to do in response to the glorious truths of the previous passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. So let's launch straight into it. Let's go straight into the passage. Have a look with me at verse 13. Did you spot the command there in verse 13? Have a look down with me. We're to set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think it's a bit strange, isn't it, to think about future grace? You know, we know about past grace. We were saved by grace because of what Jesus did on the cross. We know that we continue in grace. We continue in our Christian life by grace. We're kept and held firm because God is keeping us safe now. But there is also a future grace. There is a future grace that will be brought to us when we see Jesus Christ at the end. It's a grace of deliverance, a grace of final salvation, a grace of being welcomed home at last. Cast your eye back to what we saw a couple of weeks ago in chapter 1, verse 3 with me. Chapter 1, verse 3 says this, and please do have a look down there. It says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4 says this: to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Brothers and sisters, that is the grace that we're to set our hope fully on. That is the salvation that we're being guarded for, the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, when we finally arrive home, when we finally see the Lord Jesus face to face, when we are finally embraced by him and hear him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. The first thing we're to do now as asylum seekers journeying towards our heavenly home is to look forward. We're to look forward and set our hope fully on that moment. Now, that's not a I hope it won't rain tomorrow kind of hope. We do hope it won't rain tomorrow. This is a different kind of hope here. This is an assurance, a certainty that when we see the Lord Jesus face to face, we won't be met by wrath, but we will be met by grace when we see him face to face. I wonder, did you spot that word fully there in verse 13? Did you spot fully down there? We're to set our hope fully on that moment. Not partially on it and partially elsewhere. We're to set our hope fully on it. There are so many things around us, aren't there, in which we're tempted to put a little bit of our hope our status, our education, or perhaps our children's education, our money, our stuff, our holidays or leisure time, our ministry. But Peter says to us, no, we're to put our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is so difficult to do, isn't it? That is so difficult to do. We're journeying through this world, but we're so easily distracted by the world around us. And so Peter helps us by telling us a bit more about how we're to go about setting our hope fully on that grace. Have a look at verse 13 with me. I wonder, did you spot those two words there that end in ing, that show us how we're to set our hope fully on the Lord Jesus? Oh, sorry, on the grace that will be revealed then. Did you spot those two words? The first is this, preparing our minds for action. And the second is being sober-minded. With preparing our minds for action, Peter wants us to do this. He wants us to roll up our sleeves. You know, when we are facing a difficult task, we sometimes roll up our sleeves as we get ready to do it. Peter is saying here, roll up the sleeves of your mind. Get ready, be ready, get prepared. Peter wants us to roll up the sleeves of our minds, and he wants us to be mentally getting ready, to be mentally prepared as we set our hope in that future grace. The rest of 1 Peter will flesh this out more and more, that will explain more and more about what that looks like. But for now, roll up the sleeves of your mind and get ready for action. And the second thing that Peter says there is that we're to be sober-minded, to have a clear mind, to be self-controlled. We're to be like that because this kind of hope doesn't happen by accident. We're surrounded by a million and one distractions, and so we're to be prepared. We're to be deliberate in setting our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So remember, we're thinking about what it means to be asylum seekers, to live in the here and now. And the first thing that Peter says to us is to look forward with hope. But does what we do with our bodies matter? Or is it just something that's up here in our minds? Does what we do with our bodies matter? Well, if the first thing we're to do is to look forward and hope, the second thing that Peter would have us do, and this is our second point, is to look up and be holy in all our conduct. Have a look down at the passage again with me. Let's reread verses 14 to 16. Verse 14 says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter starts this second section by telling us what we are. We're children. We're God's children. We saw that back in verse 3 of chapter 1, and we see it again here. We've been born again to a living hope by our Father, and we're now his children. And now that we are God's children, we are to grow into the family likeness. As verse 15 says, he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Well, that quotation in verse 16 is from Leviticus 10, verse 44. And it's helpful to remember its original context. Leviticus is one of those books that's very scary and overwhelming. We don't know quite what to do with it. So I think it's helpful for us now just to remember its original context. Well, God's people back then had been in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. And then God came and redeemed them. God came and redeemed them. A lamb died in each household, and God ransomed his people from their former slavery in Egypt. God saved them and then led them out towards the promised land. And on the journey there, the journey between Egypt and the promised land, God gave his people the law. both the Ten Commandments, but also just the fuller law as well, that's in later in Exodus, in Leviticus, and in Deuteronomy. And that's where and when this quotation comes from. God had already rescued his people. He had already saved them to be his people and he to be their God. And now they were to live that out. They were to be holy because God is holy. Not be holy to be God's people, but because you are already God's people, be holy. And in the same way, we who are God's children, whom God has called, that's what verse 15 says, should be holy because our God is holy. Not to earn anything, but because we are his children. We're in the family now, and now we're to grow in the family likeness. A massive change has happened. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we're to live that out. A massive change has happened. Verse 14, once we were ignorant, but now we know God and what he's done for us. Once we were not God's children, not his people, but now he's called us and made us his children, his people. Once we were controlled by our passions, verse 14, but now we're to be obedient to God. Once we were living in a futile way of life, verse 18, and now we're to be holy in all our conduct. Holy in all our conduct. Not just what we do here on a Sunday, but what we do on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. In the way we drive. Holy in our romantic relationships. Holy with sex. Holy in what we think about and watch. Holy in the way we use our money. Holy in our relationships within our families, at home and also in the workplace. Holy with our leisure time. We're to be holy in all our conduct. We're barely scratching the surface there. And actually, Peter starts to flesh this out more and more over the rest of the letter. So do come back as we look at the rest of this letter. But do you see right now that it flows out of who God is and what he's done for us? It's not to earn something from God. It's the outworking of what he has already done for us. He's called us and he's made us his children. And we're to live that out. With the Holy Spirit's help, we're to grow in the family likeness. Well, if the first thing we're to do is to look forward and hope, the second thing we're to do, as we've just seen, is to look up to our Father and be holy like him. And the third thing is in verse 17 to 21. And I guess the question is here, well, if we've already been made God's children, does it really matter what we do now? Well, let's have a look as quickly at verse 17 here. Have a look at verse 17 and see what Peter says. Have a look down with me. He says this, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, throughout the time of your journey home to our heavenly hope. There's a lot of overlap here between this and the last thing that we just saw. But I think what Peter wants us to see in this verse is that, yes, God is our Father who called us, verse 15, and whom we call upon, verse 17, but he is also a judge. He is the judge who will judge impartially according to each one's deeds. And therefore, we're to conduct ourselves with fear throughout our time of exile as we journey on towards our home. Now, friends, as when we see that phrase, fear of God, when we hear of the fear of God in the Bible, we need to remember that it's not a horror movie kind of fear. It's not about being scared about God. It means we're to have an appropriate reverence for who God is. We're to remember and have an appropriate reverence for who God is and remember who we are. You see, God is the creator. We're creatures. God is uncreated. We're created. God is infinite. We're not. God is God. We're not. And that means we're to have an appropriate reverence for God. God is our friend. The Bible makes that clear. And it is a wonderful, glorious truth. But he is also our God. He's not a mate who we can tease and make fun of with our lifestyles. He's our God. And we need to have an appropriate reverence for him. Now, that's something that will come up again and again in 1 Peter. Peter will challenge us again and again, and he will ask us, do we have that appropriate reverence of God? Or will we be more afraid of what other people think? Will we be more fearful of what other people say about us and allow them to direct on our lives and our lifestyles? No, Peter tells us we're to live appropriately before God, given who he is. We're to know that what we do here matters, that God judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Now, that's a really sobering thought. That's a really sobering thought. Our conduct here matters. What we do here matters. It's sobering because if we're honest, we've done things we shouldn't have done. And we've not done things that we should have done. And so, friends, as we hear that, we need to see that the glorious truths of 18 to 21 really are amazing, glorious truths. You see, Peter tells us two reasons for how we should go about conducting ourselves with fear. There are two things we need to know. The first one, we've just seen it, is that God is a judge. The second, we're going to see in verses 18 to 21. So let's have a quick run through of that. You see, first, verse 18, have a look with me. Have a look at verse 18. We're to look back to the cross. Do you see it there in verse 18? We were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers. We were ransomed from the futile ways and conduct around us and in our past with verse 19, the precious blood of Christ. The thing that was most precious to God was given freely to ransom us. Now, that's not mentioned to take us on some kind of guilt trip. It's mentioned to show us how valuable we are to God. So let's live appropriately, knowing that this is how valuable we are to God. This is how precious we are to him. We're to live appropriately, knowing that at the cross, we were ransomed at great cost from our old way of life. That's the first thing we're to see. Second, we're to look back to the incarnation, to the first Christmas, when Jesus was, have a look at verse 20 with me. He was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, for our sake. You see, Jesus could have remained hidden, but he was revealed. And more specifically, he was revealed for you, for us. What a privilege. What a privilege. As we journey towards our heavenly home, we can look back in scripture and see that Christ was revealed there in history for us. So let's be encouraged on this journey. Let's look to him and let's live appropriately. And the third thing, let's have a quick look at verse 21. We're to look back. Verse 21, we're to look back to Jesus's resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, into glory. We're to look there and to live appropriately, seeing our living hope come out of the tomb with Jesus as sure and certain as his resurrection. We're to look there to his resurrection and see that our faith and hope are in the one who raised him from the dead. We're to look back there and set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the final thing that Peter wants us to do? He wants us to look back at these glorious events, the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection, and to live appropriately before our God. So as we draw things to a close, how should we live as asylum seekers here on earth, as we journey as Christians towards our heavenly home? We're to be holy people. That's the answer. We're to be holy people. We're to look forward to Christ's return and set our hope fully on the grace to be revealed then. We're to look up to our Heavenly Father and we're to grow in the family likeness. We're to be holy in all of our conduct. And we're to look back to the first Christmas, to the cross, to the resurrection and ascension. And we're to live appropriately in the light of all that, knowing that the way we live matters. Looking forward, looking up, looking back, we're to be holy people. Looking forward, looking up, looking back, where do we need to change? Where do we need to change? Perhaps there's an area of your life in which you can feel the Holy Spirit saying right now that you need to be holy in all of your conduct, including that area. Or perhaps you've been getting this all the wrong way around. You've been trying to be holy in order to become one of God's children. You've been trying to be holy in order to earn that future grace. You've been trying to be holy in order to pay your own ransom. Friend, if that's you, well, rest in what God has done for you. You have already been ransomed by Christ's precious blood. Or perhaps you're hearing this right now, and you just have no idea where to begin on this. Well, as Tim mentioned, these verses are our verses for the year. They're verses that as a church family, we're going to spend the rest of this academic year thinking about, thinking through. So if you're hearing this and you have just no idea where to begin, well, a really great first step is to talk and pray with someone. We do this as a church. So as we close, how then should we live? How then should we live as we journey towards our heavenly home? We're looking forward, looking up, and looking back. We're to be holy people. We're going to take a moment or two to do business with the Lord, and then if the musicians would like to come up and lead us in our final song. So a moment to do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that grace that will be revealed to us at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that you have made us your children, not because of anything we've done, but because of who you are. And we thank you that we can look back and see the incarnation, the first Christmas, where Jesus was made manifest for us. We can see the cross where our ransom was paid with his most precious blood. And we thank you, we can look back to the resurrection and the ascension and see that our hope that we are looking forward to is as sure and certain as Jesus's body that walked out of the tomb. Father, help us to be a church that is holy, and help us to be a church that glories in our Redeemer.